You know, as followers of Christ, we are people of grace and people not of the law. You've probably heard that before, that we're not people of the law. But today, I think we kind of are people of the law. And it's Matt Law and Jill Law. I tell you, I miss these people. It was so good to hear Matt's voice this morning. Matt's been gone for a while here because he's been suffering a little bit of health issues. And Jilly had a little bit of a health issue the last couple of weeks. And so we are people of the law today, just a little bit. We're so glad things are better and you guys are both here. So thank you for that. Thank you for being part of our family. A little bit of a confession here to start us off a little bit. One of the probably dumb things I do as a person, if I get some spare time and I'm thumbing through channels, you know, it doesn't happen often, but you just don't have anything to do and you just kind of go see what's on, you know, and some of the shows I stop on to watch, Jerry Springer, I know, and I stop. You just should keep going, but every time I kind of stop to see what's going on, or there's other ones similar to that. Steve Wilkos is a spinoff, does basically the same thing. Maury Povich down there in the corner. Dr. Phil, I don't think is too far really from these guys here. But I stop and I watch these kinds of things. And I really don't know why, because they're kind of an embarrassment to humanity. I turn that and I think, why did I just watch that? Because of what's on there, the content of what they show, the dilemmas and things that they're talking about. You know, it's just entertainment that kind of reeks about the worst of humanity. I am not going to have you raise your hand if you watch any of those shows, and I'm not saying don't ever watch them. Yeah, don't ever watch them. They're just not very good. And I'm not real sure why I even stop. Why do we even stop on these channels? I got thinking about this. Why is it that I stop? Because I know what I'm going to see, and I think maybe it might be a guy thing, because guys might identify this, especially when you were younger. You know, you'd find something, a dirty old sock in your gym bag, and you'd pull it out and you'd smell it, and you'd have somebody, hey, smell this, it's terrible. Guys do that. They do, hey, you know, it's why is it that we do that? Well, this smells so bad here, share it. You want to share it? The guys will do it. I don't know, maybe that's why I stop, because there's a stink and stank to this, to some of the stuff that's on TV. There's just so much of this kind of stuff on our televisions, and I don't want to be a total Debbie Downer here on TV or in our culture in general. There is a lot of good. I got to participate in some good yesterday. Tammy asked me to participate in the habitat work that was done in town of Huntington, and that was it was neat to be a part of that. There was some goodness. People that were there doing good things. You don't see Maury Povich and Jerry Springer out covering projects that are like that, but there is an awful lot of good. But these shows that I stop on, I think they revolve around the depravity of humans, and they exploit that. There's just this large amount of corruption and perversion and deviance and immorality that they just seems to be so dark, and they take advantage of that darkness there. And I think unfortunately there is an element to that entertains and it attracts, and that's probably a little bit why I stop with the buttons there. There is something about that does pull us in on those kinds of shows. But even though that is probably some of the more extreme kinds of things, I found this week that it seems like that kind of thing is leaking over into some more of our mainstream kinds of things, some more of our normal life kind of things as well. And I don't think there's a whole lot different at the heart of some of the things that those first shows would talk about in regards to how it relates to normal society. And if we think about the entertainment world or our political system or what's happening in the news or part of our social media, I think there are some similarities to the kind of depravity that we see on our screens. And I'm going to show you some screens here that kind of crossed my path this week, and it probably crossed some of your paths as well. And if you had to come up with a collage of your pictures, it would probably look a little bit differently. But, you know, this this came up where we have a Supreme Court justice nominee, Mr. Kavanaugh, I can't say his first name, Brett Kavanaugh, and this whole thing about the accusations that were happening there, and this just dominated our TVs about one story claims to be 100% true and another story claims to be 100% true, and they're two different stories. What's going on there? It just dominates this whole idea of what it is. The next picture, unfortunately, was on our news this week, too. It's America's dad, Dr. Huxtable. I know him as Fat Albert, you know, Bill Cosby. Same kind of thing. Big, big news about accusations of sexual immorality and what he had has been found guilty of in the news. Typically, could be a Jerry Springer show. Next one is... the big scandal that we have within the Catholic Church and all of the sexual abuse and the allegations of sexual abuse between priests and people of their congregations and the damage that it's doing to the church, to the Catholic Church. You know, just more of this depravity of humans. And then I don't know what I have next here. Oh, yeah, just everything about so much of the stuff that, you know, to be truthful, I don't even know the stories of this stuff. They talk about dossiers and they talk about, you know, Russian involvement. I don't even know what's going on there, but I know enough of it to know, again, there's just one side telling one thing and another side telling another thing. And what's true? What's true? What's truth in this? And all the battles that are happening that just seems to be dominating our news. And the last one, a little bit more closer to home, I think this is the last one, of the issue that's facing our church right here. This two stories telling two different narratives of how we are to act out our lives as followers of Christ and within the Methodist Church. What are we to do about human sexuality? This has been beating our church up for decades now. And what is it that we are going to do? What are we going to do about people that have an interest in being united in a United Methodist Church in marriage if they have the same gender? What are we going to do with that? What does our discipline say? What does Scripture say? And there you have this fighting dilemma, this problem about what is true and what is right. And no doubt it's all about and all related to this darkness that seems to be prevailing through our society. And I think, too, it can come closer to home as well. I think that darkness has its way of working its fingers into our lives a little closer than what we see on TV. You know, I think about the tendency that people in general, us included, have towards idolatry when we put something above God. Whatever that is, that would be an idol. And no, it's not a statue that we necessarily bow to and worship, but we can put things ahead of God. Things like pleasure. That can come before God. What is it? What's the next fun thing I can do? Pleasurable. If that's first and foremost in my life, it becomes an idol. I think our jobs can become an idol because it takes precedence over our Lord. Our sports teams that we follow, our fantasy teams that we create, our social status and all we do to try to maintain that, our kids' activities, chasing them around and all of the things that we can do, is that above your love for God? If it is, it's an idol and it's part of this darkness that works its way into our lives. I think we can get so caught up in pleasure. I was talking with somebody the other day here and they were saying, you know, it just seems like we're all about pleasure instead of deep truths. Pleasure, to find ways that we can feel good. And I think that can take on the form, if it's carried too far, to substance abuse or a dependency on things like drugs and alcohol and food or pornography. It's when we are so wrapped up in pleasure. And even within our relationships, ours, mine, yous, the relationships we have, they can have, unfortunately, same elements of darkness, that same depravity that can eat away at the core of all of our relationships, keeping them from what they're really supposed to be. Anytime selfishness or evil desire or greed can come in and sneak its way into those relationships, they just pose the threat of causing major problems within the relationship. And if you are parents who have raised kids, you know that to be true. It's not easy. It's not easy. There is just this nature about humanity that causes things to be more difficult. I got a granddaughter. She's just, well, perfect. No, she's not. Actually, what I'm going to tell you next is tell you that she's not perfect because she's just 9 months. And, you know, she wants to lick the outlets. You know, and, you know, I hope they're not going to listen to this. I'll get in trouble. But, you know, she's learning no. But already you can tell, and if you're parents, you know this, that when they know no, they'll give you that look like, don't matter, I'm going to do it anyways. Right? Isn't that true? Isn't that somehow early on, this human nature of us kind of, and this tendency to want to do wrong comes to play. Even my granddaughter. It's amazing how that works, and it can affect all of our relationships inside of marriages. Same thing, that naturally, great marriages just don't naturally happen because we have this same nature about us that causes us problems if we don't stay after it. Other relationships as well, our coworkers, our classmates. It's difficult. The dark part of humanity has its way of working into all aspects of our lives. Even the last bastion, I think, of hope, I think, to me, and you've heard me say this several times, is within the church. And I yet think that darkness has its way of finding its way into there as well. Locally, close to me, there are pastors who have lost their positions because of impropriety or immorality, and they've had to step away from the pulpit because the way darkness has swept in. What results then is a skepticism then within the world about the church. There's doubts because of how the church has functioned and some of the things that have happened within the church. We partner with several churches here, other small United Methodist churches in Huntington County, and also within the interfaith churches as well, churches about our size for cooperative type things like food pantry, things that Jill mentioned about this morning. And, you know, they struggle with numbers. You know, you look at attendance of churches that have had their sanctuaries full of people. So many of them are you know, they have just a couple dozen that are coming. And I'm not saying that because I don't believe that we're just about numbers. You know, we got to get things filled up so our attendance is a certain number. You know, frankly, I think it'd be very easy to fill this up. You could make this a show where people would be entertained, where they could come in and they could feel good and they could go home. And that's not what I'm saying here. But I think the numbers do reflect a little bit about how our communities and our societies are looking at the church as a whole. Churches need to be this place where lives are truly being changed, where the light of Christ is dominating people. Jesus is the Lord and not any other thing that could be an idol. Where there is real growth and there is long-term, sustained, consistent discipleship happening within our churches. There's room for that. There's room for that in all of our churches. There's room for that here. Kind of negative Nancy Debbie Downer here a little bit, and I know there's an awful lot of good things that go on. I just don't believe we see enough of that. Maury Povich and the other guys don't cover the good, cool things that are going on. We just don't see that enough. But I also think, too, that goodness doesn't come naturally. We have another natural bent to us that is not good. And I have to guard myself against the times I'm channel surfing through there because it can get you down. It could be a very depressing thing to see this. But more importantly, I think, too, I have to guard myself against this because that darkness, it's here. I mean, it has its fingers in me that affect me as well. These things, these deep, dark things that are anti-God, that are against Christ and His love, still are here. And I think one of the things maybe we get wrong as followers of Christ, and maybe even people outside the church looking in, they think that, you know, once you become a follower of Christ, all that junk goes away. Well, that hasn't been my experience, for sure. There's a lot of junk that hangs around. Now, judiciously in the eyes of God from a legal perspective, when I received Christ, I am perfect because he sees Christ in me. So from a legal perspective, from a judicial perspective, I'm white as snow. But from a personal perspective of how I live out the rest of these days until I see him face to face, there's some stuff that's gone for sure. But there's some other stuff that just keeps battling. It just keeps working its way up, and it's frustrating. Lord, you know, take this away. Why do I still have this tendency? And I think about that. Paul had the same kind of thing going on. He said, Lord, just take this away. You know, three times I wanted to get this thorn out of him. We don't know what that thorn in the flesh was, but take this away. And remember what God said to him. He said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient, which tells me that Paul probably struggled with that thorn the rest of his life. And I think I'm going to struggle with some things, and I bet you do as well. So this week, as I kind of was thinking through this and, you know, thinking about so much of the negativity that seems to be surrounding me and within me, I thought, yeah, I need some good coaching. I need my caddy here to kind of help me out and to push me a little bit here to help. And I think I found some passages here that we're going to spend a few weeks in the book of Colossians that I think has some wonderful advice and some wonderful encouragement here for us to go through. So I would encourage you this week to find, it's a short book. We're going to start in chapter 1 of Colossians here, that you would maybe perhaps read through that this week, because I think you will get strengthened through that. So my caddy said this to me this week as I read the very beginning of Colossians here, after Paul gives his introduction to the people he writes his letter to. He says this in verse 13. He, God, has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And I think right there, Scripture right away tells us that the Jerry Springer type darkness that we see in our world, the Scripture acknowledges it's real. It's real. The depravity of people. And as much as we maybe look at some of the stuff that's so out of touch, it seems like, and we even laugh at it perhaps sometimes, it's real. It's real, and it is part of this experience. That real darkness is here, and too often it does prevail. And I think one of the things perhaps we need to do within the church that we're maybe not doing a good enough job at is developing the need. You know, if you're marketing a product, what you're trying to do there is convince your people in your market that they need this. You know, that's part of the sales pitch. And I think part of what we as a church need to do is really emphasize the fact that there is a tremendous need here. I think our job is to convince the world of their real need. And I think it's easy to just neglect that negative stuff or ignore it or disguise it. But I think part of my job, and I think part of your job, is to come to know and to share that our lives and our world are in desperate need of a Savior. I think that is our business. Help the world see their need. Help us flesh out the fleshiness of ourselves. Paul goes on to this and does probably a little bit of developing the doctrine of our faith here. And he talks about Christ. He just introduced him here as being our Savior and our Redeemer. But he goes on in verse 15 and really emphasizes the divinity of Jesus Christ, that he is God. Listen to what he says in verse 15. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. And boy, when you read that, you have an answer to the people, maybe some of your friends that say, well, Jesus was a great teacher, but he was a human being, and that's all he was. He lived and he died and he was buried. Well, not according to this. Boy, this sure talks about the full divinity of Jesus Christ. That He was before all things and He is in all things. And He created all things. He's divine. He is God. Verse 19 says, "For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through Him God was pleased to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of His cross. And you were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil things. He has now reconciled in His fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before Him." And there it is. That's how this darkness of this world sees light. That's how the defeat of death and all of the decay of what we see in this world is defeated. There is real darkness in this world, and it plays itself out in the behaviors of people. Paul describes these behaviors specifically a little later on, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this next week. I don't believe I have this up here, but from verses 5, 6, and 8 of chapter 3, he talks about this darkness and how it's worked into people. And he says, whatever in you is earthly, fornication, that is sexual relationship outside of marriage, fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry, anger and wrath and malice and slander and abusive language from your mouth. And don't lie to each other. That's a short list. We'll spend some more time talking about that next week. But just think about those for a moment. There's my collage again. There is all of these things that are going on. Now think about that list again. Fornication. Relationships, sexual relationships outside of marriage. Impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed. Think about lying. Think about slander. Think about these things, you know. What if the elements of darkness Paul described were not there? Those things in that list. What if people didn't have sexual relationships outside of marriage? What if people were not greedy in regards to money or power? What if people were honest and didn't lie? I thought about that a lot as I was watching some of these hearings, you know, the OJ thing and Bill Cosby thing and the Supreme Court thing. You know, somebody's lying. You know, what if you had a stick that just said, this is true? Or what if Christ Himself was right here and said, this one's true, you know? Think of this stuff. Think of the whole collage would just dissolve, wouldn't it? It would just be gone if elements there of the darkness would be gone. It is a real thing, and it is bad, and it affects so many. But I think the message in this passage is there is an answer. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son. There's the answer to this. We are the recipients. If you have received Christ and you are a follower of Him, you are a recipient of that rescue. You are one who has been rescued. And you are also messengers of that answer. Christ is the answer, and we are recipients and we are messengers as well. He goes on to say in chapter 2, and starting in verse 6, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, continue to live out your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." There is a directive, and we'll spend some more time talking about this next week, for us to do. Paul is telling us there's a great work that's already been done that you won't have anything to do with. You have nothing to do with what happened on that cross. That work is done. The rescue has been taken place. The atonement has been done. The blood has been shed. Your work in that is nothing but to receive it. But that's not to say there isn't something to do. Paul says you should live out your lives a certain way. There is an intentionality about our lives to be deliberately lived out a certain way. And I will tell you first and personal, it's not all natural. It's difficult. It takes work. It takes some intention on our part. I heard a sermon last week, and there was a line in there that I thought was pretty good. I'm kidding. It was my sermon. But I went back and looked at it. I thought, you know, that was kind of a cool line. I said this. I was talking about people that are around you. And who are you? Who's in your circle? Who are you connected with? And I said, you know, if Christ would return today, or if that friend would die today that is lost or far from God, where would they be? We talked about that a little bit. And then the comment that I said was this. I said, if you don't have people in your circle of friendship that are far from God, remember me saying this? If you have people that are not followers of Christ that are your friends, if you don't have any people like that, remember what I said? Go get more friends. You need to get new friends. If all you're hanging around with are fellow Christians, fellow followers of Christ, get out there and hang out with people that aren't, because there is no other way that those people are going to find truth but by us. I do believe that we are the only instrument by which this dark world is going to find real light. You and me. I don't believe it's the government. I don't believe it's science and medicine. And I don't believe it's any kind of social program that's out there. I don't think it's education, and I do not think it's community. And I also don't think it's organized religion. I don't think it is a certain denomination. And I'll tell you, too, I don't think it's Pleasant Chapel. I think it's people who are in love with Christ, and they are in full knowledge of the amazing grace that they have been given, as it is found in their forgiveness, from a world that is dark to a world that is light, from a world full of sin to a world of forgiveness, and a world where we, as are found in Christ, are being transformed, changed into our best versions. People, you and me, that are fallen and still struggling, but faithfully living out our lives with real purpose. Purpose that is only found in our faith in Christ. Let us pray.